Hey, it's Adam Hoge. If you like this podcast, then you'll probably also enjoy Sports Central, which I do every week with Mark Carmen. We get plenty of football talk in there, too, but we touch on all Chicago sports as well. This week, we discussed the debut of Michael Kopech on the South Side, talked about the Cubs' recent struggles, and yes, of course, some Bears talk in there, too. Check it out on WGNRadio.com or subscribe by searching for Sports Central on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcast. All right, let's get it going on Hogan Johns. It's our annual Ryan Pace episode.
Podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed. Anything that you do, if there's an obsession with it, you realize that obsession. Good things come from that.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
Let loose and just have some fun as you go about winning.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Hot round, Red 7, hot round.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
There's a different vibe around the building.
Obsession.
Everyone's just coming to work every day excited.
Being obsessed.
And that's what it's all about.
And now,
what time is it?
Here they are.
Perfection.
Hogan Johns.
Welcome in episode 168 of the Hogan Johns podcast. Back in the closet at Hallis Hall for the first time in a long time.
I feel like there's more and more junk in here every single day.
Every time we come in here, there's
the first time we did it, there was just an old NFL network curtain that they used to do video hits on.
It was actually like mic'd up and designed to be a room to do stuff like this.
Now you got dollies, chairs. We have to get a table out of here to get in here. Some old ladder. I mean, this is like the ladder I have in the back of my garage that I've never used before.
Right.
I know the look. It looks like it's been used.
I bought one of those at a garage sale for like $8.
Did it look like this?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we're back here for good reason. I know a lot of people have been tweeting this week, where's the podcast? A lot of people have been tweeting over the last month. Are you guys doing the interview with Ryan Pace? Is that happening? For a long time, we kind of had the same question, but Ryan Pace did sit down with us, and we had a chance to talk to him about training camp, Roquan Smith, the whole deal, and it's good stuff.
Yeah. We hope you all enjoy. This is it.
So
168. Yeah.
Yeah. Apologize for, kind of being mum on the podcast this week. I know everyone wanted a Chiefs preview episode. It's still a preseason, guys.
Yes.
I should mention, however, before we jump
in, Pace preview it for you.
Well, I know. But before we get into the interview, I should mention, because we are going to open up the voicemail line this weekend. 312-222-5050. I think that's the number. I don't even remember anymore.
You don't have your notes in front of you.
I don't have my notes in front
of me. There's nowhere to put them. Put them on this ladder.
There's no room for notes in this closet.
Might be some paint on them afterwards.
The voicemail line will be open, and we want to hear your thoughts after the game on Saturday. So call in. Our man Joe Romano is going to be putting it all together. We're going to kind of simulate the regular season as much as the Bears are going to do this
week. It's a preseason for us, too.
It's still preseason.
We're game planning here.
And that is one of the many topics that we discussed with Ryan Pace. How damn long this preseason is. Now, he would not agree to do this in the closet with us. So, we didn't do that here. But anyway, really happy to talk to the general manager, Ryan Pace, once again and reflect on training camp, preseason, the whole Roquan Smith situation. So hope you guys enjoy. Here he is, Ryan Pace. For the third year in a row, we are very happy to welcome in the general manager of the Chicago Bears to the Hogan Johns podcast. I know we all wanted to do this a little bit earlier in training camp, like the last couple years, but different circumstances this time around. Well, thanks again for joining us, Ryan.
No, thanks for having me, guys. I really enjoy this.
First question, are you as sick as the preseason as we are?
You know, Adam, it's been a long camp for us, really. Yeah. When you go back, we had the extra mini camp to start with in the off season. We started camp July 16th, you know, five preseason games, combined practices with the Broncos. It's been good for us, but it's been a long camp.
Yeah, I think it was, after the second preseason game, I was, bewildered almost. We have three more of these left.
No doubt.
It's a long year.
Yeah.
Well, at least we have the fun one this week, right, against the Chiefs, where you get a little game planning in there. We're going to get to that and talk about the job Matt Nagy's done so far and getting a chance to face his own team. We do need to start with Roquan Smith. That was the big story of camp, and I don't know if you considered it a distraction or not, but it was certainly something that was kind of hovering over Bourbonnais the whole time. I think, you know, so we don't have to spend a ton of time on this, the one question I really wanted to get answered by you, there's all this stuff stuff out there about the language and whether or not you want to get into that or not, it certainly seemed like it wasn't necessarily something that was going to affect this specific player. So I think what fans are kind of wondering is, why was it so important to protect that language, debate that language, whatever you were doing? Why was it important enough to keep him away for as long as he was? Because he basically missed a month of camp.
Yeah, you know, I think without getting into the you know, nitty-gritty details, you guys know with any negotiation, there's two different sides, and there's going to be disagreements, and then you have to sort through those. And in this case, this one can be a bit complicated. And you're right, it's not always just about the specific player. It's about everything going forward, too. So for us, it was just working through that. You know, what's going on around the league right now? What are the majority of the teams doing? We're factoring in some new rules that are going to be taking place, and really understanding both sides. You know, understanding our position and then his agent's position. And I think it just working through that process, you know. And I think in the end, you know, would we have liked him to be in camp earlier? Sure. But sometimes these things happen, and now our focus is in just getting him ready for Green Bay.
I think the word that was floated around, at least publicly or in the media, was the word precedent. Mm-hmm. How much was precedent maybe a factor for you guys through those negotiations, through that whole process?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're mindful of, you know, guys on your team now and the contracts they're under and players going forward and what you're doing. And I, you know, but I think sometimes, too, there's also understanding that trends change in the league, too. You know, things change. The landscape can change. So that's why it's not just black and white. That's why it's a little complicated. And I think, you know, I got to really credit Joey Lane. He, you know, there was a ton of sleepless nights by him working through that. There was a lot of urgency on both sides' parts to get him here. It just took some time, you know. And now, again, we're glad he's here, and we're just working to get him ready for the regular season.
Why are you comfortable now that obviously there was some compromise reached that, you know, your future operations are protected and obviously Roquan can go play freely now?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're factoring in, I mean, when you get into these contracts and you get into the language you're talking about, football acts and non-football acts and all different kinds of things, and it's just kind of navigating through those. And and, you know, we have principles and standards as a club, like any team does, and just getting both sides to understand those things. And again, I think the good part about this, guys, was we've done a ton of deals with these agents. I mean, starting with Todd France, and we might have 5+ guys on our team right now that are represented by that sector of CAA. So we've worked with them a lot. And it was just getting both sides to understand, and there is a little bit of give and take with any negotiation, and that's ultimately what happened.
So now everyone wants to see Roquan, obviously. Unfortunately, dealing with a little bit of a hamstring issue this week. What exactly happened? Where is he at? And I guess more importantly here is we're almost 2 weeks away from the opener now.
Yeah.
How do you get him ready?
I think it's just there's a certain element, and especially with a player like Roquan, where we're protecting him from himself, you know? And so we knew when he came in, talking to our sports science staff, we're going to be smart with this. And, if there's any tightness, if there's anything, let's just be really smart with how we acclimate him in. And that's what we're going through. And we got to pull Roquan back a little bit. But we're focused on the regular season and making sure he's rolling for the regular season and not having any kind of setback now. And so it's really, I would say, in a lot of ways, us just being cautious with us acclimating him in right now.
I think he said, what was his word? The learning process for middle linebacker has a bit overrated in a sense. I like the confidence. I'm sure you guys like the confidence. But in terms of grasping everything that needs to be done by that spot, it seemed a bit different. Like we always compared him to Joey Bosa's situation because the same agents that were representing Bosa represented Roquan Smith. Different positions, though. How have you seen him acclimate himself to handling all of the responsibilities needed in the middle of Vic's defense?
Yeah, so, and I think when you look at that position, you're absolutely right. I mean, and essentially, you're the quarterback of the defense in a lot of ways. So when we evaluated Roquan, the physical traits jump off the tape. But as you dig more and more on the player, his intelligence and his work ethic and his football knowledge and all those things are off the chart. So naturally, he picks things up very quickly, you know, especially for a young player. And that happened rapidly during the offseason, during the OTAs. And so then, you know, he had his iPad, you know, during some of this time away. And I think coming in now, that's one of the things that's been that I'd say has maybe exceeded expectations is how well he knows the defense, how well he's picked up the defense. And then you surround him with guys like Trevathan and Kwiatkowski and a lot of the veteran leaders that we have on the defense. We got a really good locker room right now, guys. So he leans on those guys. Those guys help him. And I think that's been really good for his growth mentally as he comes in.
In an ideal world, would you like to see him get some live contact before the regular season begins?
I think that's a good question. I think in an ideal world, whatever we do, and it's fluid as we go, we just want him to be at his very best for the regular season, however we have to execute that.
Has Saturday's game been ruled out at this point?
I think Matt talked about that last night. You know, as we're getting closer and closer to kickoff here, and we've been very limited with his reps this week. It might be leaning in that direction, but I don't want to put that any final words on that either.
And then the last preseason game is always tricky, no matter who the player is, because the thing I always comment on with the last preseason game is you have to be careful because there's so many guys out there. I mean, there's a notable amount of guys who go into that game knowing that might be their last game ever, mm-hmm. and they're going to lay it out on the line. So you got to protect some of your key players to say, hey, you know, that guy might not care if you get suspended for a helmet-to-helmet.
Yeah. The last preseason game, from an evaluator standpoint, is always valuable because that's when we're cutting down to our 53, a lot of those hard decisions really do can come down to the last preseason game. And then for us, you know, we can do participation searches and all these players around the league. You just plug their name in our video system and all their snaps come up. And for a lot of these guys we're talking about when we're signing guys at the back end of our roster or establishing our practice squad, the most significant snaps happen in that final preseason game. So from a scout's eye, there's a lot of tape to watch in week four of the preseason.
I know we joked about the preseason. We're just talking about the preseason. But how have having five games, the extra week, how did that maybe, to go back to Roquan real quick, how did that maybe impact negotiations in terms of, you know, we have some extra time here to maybe put our foot in the ground if need be?
Yeah, Adam, it never factored in. Like, we have more time. In a perfect world, you know, we wanted them there July 16th. So that was never part of the thought process. It was more just working through it all, you know, and again, like, there's so many layers to that without getting into all the details. It just took time. And again, I think I said this before, I didn't want us to just, sometimes these things can become this thing where, hey, we're not going to call each other. We're just going to stare down and not communicate. And I did not want that to happen. So there was constant dialogue and communication going on. It just took time because there were some complicated issues to sort out.
So a big part of the first 3 years you've been here has been talked about injuries and just seems like guys going down left and right. This year in Bourbonnais, it seemed to be different. I mean, it didn't seem to be many huge injuries. You made changes to your training staff. You made changes to your strength and conditioning staff. And then, unfortunately, there were two big ones in Denver the last week with Adam Shaheen and Leonard Floyd. Let's start with Floyd. Nagy's been pretty transparent on the situation. He broke a couple bones in his hand, right? And he's going to have to be clubbed up. We've had so many conversations, and I think even we could see it, specifically in Cincinnati against the Bengals. His hand technique had really improved. Mm-hmm. And so you got to be happy you didn't lose him long term, but it's still not ideal.
Yeah, I think, and when we talk about injuries, you know, it's part of our game. And I think we have seen, you know, thus far, reduction in injuries. And I think there's probably a lot of elements in play when we talk about that. But one of them, too, is I point to our personnel department. And, you know, we talk about availability and durability. And those are key traits when we sign players. And the youth of our team, we're a young team right now. And I think that aids sometimes to being durable and maybe less injuries to a certain degree. But with Floyd, you're right. I think, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, I think we're fortunate. It's something that he can play with, something he can quickly recover from. There are examples of guys playing with their hand, you know, casted up. We can point to our week one opponent. I think Nick Perry played with one recently mm-hmm. and had production with that. And it's not, I don't feel like this is going to be a cast or a club that he's going to have on his hand very long either. So I think due to the circumstances, you know, it happening a little bit earlier in the preseason, we're going to be okay. And I do agree with you, his hand use as a pass rusher has really, really improved. And that's key for him, you know, because clearing hands and working counters, that's been part of his growth process. And I think Brandon Staley's done a good job developing that with him. And he's just going to have to do it with a club on his hand in the beginning part of the season.
So that obviously leads to the next question, which is your depth at that position. You've now had over a month to evaluate that positional group with pads on, seeing what they've been able to do in some games. How do you feel about it? Is that a position group where you might be looking elsewhere as we get down to final cuts?
Yeah, I think we're always looking. Right now, that's what's going on right across the hall in our personnel department. We're scouring every team's roster, talking about positions in need for us, where other teams are heavy, determining all those things. So we're always looking. But when we talk about the guys that are currently here, you know, we like this group. You know, start with Floyd and Acho, but if you keep on going down, I think there's been some guys that have really showed up this preseason and played well when you go through the depth. I mean, whether it's Isaiah Irving or Kylie Fitz or, you know, Edebali has had a really good preseason, and it's a guy that I'm familiar with going back to the Saints. He's played well. And, you know, Aaron Lynch is getting closer and closer. And so we got some guys in the room that we feel good about. We need to get some of them healthy, like Lynch, and then we still got two more preseason games to see guys like Irving, Fitz, and Edebali play out.
In the past, you've called positions like receiver, one you can easily overhaul within a year. Is pass rusher more complicated? Is it similar to quarterback in terms of what I'm getting at? In terms of, yes, maybe there's more players to evaluate, but it's such a valuable position, like getting special ones.
I think when you're saying like the hardest positions to find, because I mean, obviously it's quarterback, it's pass rushers, it's cover corners. Those are all desirable positions. I mean, there's probably 31 other teams right now that are looking for corners and pass rushers, right? But I think one of the things that's, and we touched on it a little bit earlier, is you can contribute quickly as a pass rusher, you know, because at a certain element, hey, put your hand down, get after the quarterback. Yeah. You know, it's not like there's a huge learning curve. So I think we got some young guys here. It's a young room, and Brandon Staley's doing a great job, and Vic can do some creative things defensively. And I think we got a young room right here, and we still need to let this play out a little bit more as we evaluate that position group.
Mentally, how do you see Leonard handling this? He's had the concussions his first year. He hurt his knee last year. It seems like there's always a thing. How is he dealing with this in terms of having the club on his hand and his approach,
you know,
mentally?
He's been really positive, you know, really, really encouraged. Like, I think, you know, he had a hand injury earlier at Georgia, and I think he's really positive, really optimistic. You saw him out of practice yesterday. He's ready to roll. So I think that part's been really good.
So what you're saying is you're not giving up two first-round picks for Khalil Mack.
We're going through every scenario.
I'm just giving you the questions that I get on Twitter every single day. And I'm just going to keep telling people probably not. But there's your official answer. Okay, Adam Shaheen was the other one. This one seems to be a little bit more complicated. I know you usually defer to your head coach in terms of updating these injuries. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it first came out as a low ankle sprain, which 9 times out of 10 you're going, okay, that's great. It's not even a high ankle sprain, which is usually worse. I mean, what else can you add to this situation? Because this, to me, such a position is this position so big in Nagy's offense, mm-hmm. and Shaheen, a lot like Leonard, was standing out to me as somebody in training camp that had really taken some significant steps forward. Hopefully, still available for this season. You want to see him out there, obviously.
Yeah, I think, you know, you touched on it. Year two, you know, really jumping out in camp and in the preseason and what he can do, just the big target that he is and really coming on. So, again, you know, as you evaluate these things further medically, you know, there's always twists and turns. And I think for us, it's an ankle sprain and a foot sprain. And now it's just us monitoring that and getting additional opinions to just figure out the best course of action. And that's kind of where we're at. So there's really no timetable right now. It's just us sorting through, still kind of early in the process, on the best course of action on his recovery.
Speak of his development a little bit more in terms of, like, in Denver. He was exceptional. I thought him and Trey Burton seemed to be open all day. They seemed to give the Broncos linebackers a lot of problems. But that position, you've called it yourself. You called Deion Sims probably your most improved player. And then you have Ben Broniker and Daniel Brown making plays against the Broncos. It seems to me that Floyd is harder to replace than Adam Shaheen, as good as he had been in Denver.
I think, well, we talked about the value of pass rushers and how, but we do have a very good tight end room. That's a really good room. And Kevin Gilbride's doing a great job of that room. But that's a deep room for us. And I think you see it every day in practice with those guys. And, you know, Shaheen, he's just such a big target, you know. And we knew when we drafted him from Ashland that there was going to be upside with the player. And I think you feel that coming on right now with him. You know, just his confidence, and he fits very well in his offense. His catch radius, he's a huge target in the red zone. But that's a good group of tight ends that all have different traits and different strengths, and it's neat to see how we utilize all of them.
I want to talk about your head coach a little bit. I saw you in the press box the other day and said this too because it really just caught my eye. But when in practice last week in Denver, the second practice where things started to get a little bit chippy, I can't recall a head coach ever seeing a head coach pull over both teams and speak to them. But whatever he said, it seemed to work. And regardless of what he said, just the fact that Matt Nagy in his first year was not afraid to even pull over Broncos players and say, "Hey, look, you know, we're trying to practice here. We got to get this under control." It spoke to me, at least, to the leadership qualities that he has.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're going through a head coach search and obviously the research and the time that goes into that, you feel like you know a lot about each one of these candidates, right? And then you go through the long interview process. But I would say getting Matt in here, in regards to those kind of things that you're referring to, the leader, he's exceeded expectations already. He's just very natural in front of the team, very natural in front of the staff, in front of a room. And I think that's easy for him. And I maybe it stems from his background being a quarterback his whole life. I think leadership is very easy for him, very comfortable in that role. He has a natural charisma to him. When he walks in a room, you feel his presence. And I think, and we talk about this all the time, and I know the word's almost been overused, but a natural swagger to him or confidence that can be infectious. And I think all great head coaches have a little bit of that. You know, when you're, they're standing in front of a room, you're confident in the plan because that kind of feeds off of them.
He's got some bite to him. I'm not going to name the player, but this player was a Bears player, was yapping on the sideline, and he told him.
I wonder who that was.
He told him right away that this is during the Broncos practice. He turned around and said, "Shut up, enough." And the player wasn't playing. I'm not going to name who it was, but that bite, it seemed to stick out to me because he is so, like you said, genuine. He does come up with that swagger, but that bite is needed sometimes when you have, at this point, 90 guys to get in order.
Yeah, I think you said it, authentic. Everything he says is authentic. And I think when he's always speaking from the heart. And, you know, every team, these players want discipline. You know, they want details, and that's what we need. And Matt's really great about staying on top of those things, all the details. And when he says something to any one of our players, anyone on his coaching staff, it's just that accountability, you know. And he wants everybody, wants the best for everybody. That's what he wants. And I think when you feel that as a player, or you feel that, you know, if you're on the staff, it's coming from the heart, and he just wants the best, then we're all on board, and everybody's following his lead.
What's it been like this week seeing him sit down with Mitch and starts a game plan?
He's really just dialed in, and I think our, you know, you go through our offense, or really anybody on our staff, but those guys have been just kind of locked in rooms all week, you know, and when they go underground like that, you know that the game plan is really taking place.
Have you seen a body language difference in Mitch in terms of being in this offense? He seems to be smiling a lot more. And look, we don't have to talk about last year's team and last year's coaches or whatnot, but since day one of OTAs, he seems to not only take in command of everybody, but it's the body language. It's different. Like, everybody knows he's in control. Yeah. There's a smile that comes with it.
Yeah, I think he's just, you feel that, I think it's a comfort. You just feel him very comfortable in this role, and I think that comes with the reps and the experience that he had last year. I think it comes with the people that we've surrounded him with, whether we go Nagy, Helfrich, Ragone, Chase Daniel, Tyler Bray. There's a lot of guys around him that are very knowledgeable at the quarterback position and that have been around this offense. And I think he just feels very comfortable to me right now where we have him.
What has he shown you this preseason just in terms of his development?
I would say, first of all, how quickly he's picked up this offense. You know, we have a new offense with a lot of new pieces. And I guess we've all been proud of the way he's picked it up.
And it's really reliant on him, right? I mean, on the field to diagnose what he's seen. And, I mean, that's...
For sure, yeah. And there's a lot of verbiage and whatnot, and he's just been able to kind of absorb that and then put it on the field. And I think, you know, you guys have been almost at every practice. You can feel the growth taking place in front of your eyes as we went through training camp, or even the OTAs and training camp, and now just the timing and the feel and the confidence. And last night's practice at Vernon Hills, and I think, you know, now we have healthy A-Rob out there running around, and Taylor Gabriel's back running around, and Trey Burton and Kevin White and Anthony Miller, and you're just feeling all these pieces come together and kind of develop that chemistry.
That verbiage, you mentioned it. Did you ever see that clip of John Gruden on Chris Sims' case for not being able to spit out a play? I thought about that when Trubisky was learning the offense early on and going in and out of the huddle. That's like 15 words long sometimes, especially if you have a kill play in there as well. That type of command and just him, his ability, I mean, how underrated is it for him just to be able to walk into that huddle, say it clearly, and like, what does that do to his teammates in that moment?
It's huge. I mean, not just the verbiage, but then like right in your voice, how you're saying it. And there's certain times you're looking at certain guys in the huddle, emphasizing different points. And as you break the huddle, a quick reminder to a certain player, and to the confidence that you say it with, the delivery that you say it with, not just going out there and just regurgitating the verbiage, but how you say it. Your body language, all those things are necessary from the position. And I think that he naturally has that. And to see that kind of just play out in front of our eyes and that growth process in front of our eyes is really, really encouraging because you need it at that position.
Just coincidentally, yesterday I did an interview with Archie Manning. He was raving about Drew Brees in New Orleans. How much has Drew Brees kind of molded what you wanted to bring to the quarterback position here in Chicago?
I think, you know, being with Drew from really 2006 on was the immediate understanding. Okay, let's just get past what he does physically, right? Let's just talk about what he is as a person and all the intangibles that take place. He's at the facility all the time. It's football 24/7. He's passionate about being he plays with a chip on his shoulder in everything that he does. And I think now, with Mitch, feeling that same thing. He's here all the time. It's football all the time. How he is with his teammates, the desire to be great, the work ethic. Like, all those things are necessary. This is the hardest position to play in sports. So having that passion and that dedication to mastering your craft, when you see that with Drew, and then Mitch is a young player, but seeing that with Mitch, you have to have that to be good at that position. And it's really gratifying to see that.
Let's talk about another one of your first-round picks, Kevin White. Well-documented how tough it's been for him. We all know that. Where is he right now? This is a different offense than what he was drafted in. It's kind of weird, but we're in year four, and you're still trying to figure out, can he be an NFL wide receiver? What have you seen from his development?
I think, you know, we talked, the biggest thing is staying healthy. Right? So he's had a healthy offseason. So he's just strung together practice after practice, stacking those practices. I think our new receiver coach, Mike Furry, has been outstanding for him. Mike played in the league. I think, you know, having played receiver in the league, when he's talking to them, I think they understand things maybe through a little bit of a different perspective. I think Kevin's had a really good offseason. He's had a good camp. I thought last night was a really good practice for him. And I think we just got to just take it step by step. You know, he's played a lot this preseason. I think, you know, that will continue. But I think the bottom line for Kevin is he's just got to stay healthy and keep on stacking good practices. And now you add him to that receiving core, the tight end and the running backs. He's just another weapon for our offense to use.
He had a catch against the Broncos. I think Anthony Miller was out in front blocking for him, but he was moving. He was cutting. He was fast. He was abrupt with those cuts. In terms of the physical traits that you saw a few years ago, are you starting to see those come back to light now?
I think, you know, when you can tell when a player is playing with confidence, you know, and not thinking too much, and that goes for any young player. You see it on defense all the time, but you can, and I think in the Denver game, the plays you referenced, you can feel the confidence. You know, go attack the ball, and when you catch it, you know, turn up field, and I think you see those things. And obviously, those were the things at West Virginia. You know, the ability to go up and win those contested battles. And he's a big, strong, physical player, and I think you're seeing those things now, and hopefully, that's just going to continue.
That when you guys do your draft prep, you spend so much time digging on these guys to try to get a vibe for that. How tough is that when you see a guy who obviously played confident at West Virginia? We all saw that. How tough is that to gauge how that's going to translate to the NFL when adversity strikes? Because I'm sure you expect that for every single rookie you draft. You're going to come here, it's going to be harder, practices are going to be harder, the games are going to be harder, and it's not going to be like it was when you were the star player at your college.
Yeah, I think, and that's, so not talking about any player specifically, I think that applies to any rookie, because I think everywhere they've gone, from probably peewee football all the way up to college, they've been the best player. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's come easy to them. And sometimes they can just cut loose and just play football. Well, here the details have to come into play, and the technique and the execution has to come into play. So you're right, there is a little bit of adversity. I was talking to Olin Krutz about that at practice, you know, in his first couple practices as a Bear. And there's some times when you go back to your dorm room, and I'm sure you're like, man, this is a lot different than anything that I've been used to. But it's just pushing through that. So when we're evaluating these players, when you're evaluating human talent, you're trying to evaluate how they're going to handle adversity, how they're going to handle when they get money, you know, all these different things that are going to change in their life. You're trying to evaluate that. It's not just the player, it's the person. And that's what makes scouting fun, but that's what makes scouting challenging too, because there's so many different elements that go into it when we're factoring those things in.
So along those lines, let's talk about some of your rookies. I know fans like hearing about them, especially this time of year before the games start. Let's start with James Daniels. We already talked about Roquan. When you drafted James, you came out, said he's going to start at guard. We've seen him more at center. I know some of that was because of Hronis' injury. But is more of that, too, that you just kind of decided that you like him more at center? I know the versatility you still hope to have between those two positions.
I think some of that was because of injury, you're right. But the one really good thing we like about our offensive line right now is the flexibility we have with the interior guys. Because starting with Cody White here, he can play guard center. Kush can play guard center. James Daniels can play guard center. So that's a good thing when we have that versatility inside. I know there's a lot of teams that would desire that. But James, I mean, he's 20 years old. He's a young rookie that's really talented, and you see it out there, and he can play either position. And I just think when you watch him play, and this is what we saw at Iowa, just the natural pad level, balance, knee bend. He's a great technician. He's really smart for a guy that's as young as he is. He's really smart. I think you really got to credit the Iowa staff for that too. And so we're really excited about him. And he's a guy who's gotten better and better every practice and every preseason game.
Your other second round pick has impressed me, I think, since day one, especially in Bourbon. Anthony Miller, it's more than just his hands, demeanor. Everybody loves talking about his trash talk, but his route running, his footwork, the amount of separation he gains, and the unbalance, if that's a word, I don't know, the balance that the receiver, the defensive backs seem to lose against him. It's astounding because he's a rookie. What's your scout eye? What's your GM's eye seeing in Anthony Miller right now?
Obviously, he's a guy that we really liked in the draft process, and that's the reason why we came into the second round to get him. And I think he's done everything that we saw at Memphis, you know. And you want to just talk about him as a player. You're right, his separation ability because of his route quickness, his release quickness. He's got strong hands. We always talk about this ability to win contested catches, because in the NFL, a lot of these players are going to be contested no matter how quick you are, and he'll do that because he's got big, strong hands to go get the ball. He plays with a lot of confidence. So he fits this offense really, really well, and he's acclimating in it very quickly, and he's just going to be another playmaker for us to have.
You're smiling and laughing a little bit. Is that because... is that the trash talk? Is that the demeanor? That he's got a nasty side to him. I know Eddie Jackson likes facing it. Prince Mukamara has mentioned it. Kyle Fuller, you know, has even said it too. That seems to be a needed bravado for your offense,
yeah.
I think.
I think when you talk about guys that kind of can light a spark, yeah. You know, for your, and sometimes it's from their, it's great when it's with their play and their personality. Tariq Cohen has a lot of that. You know, you just feel their energy when they're out there, and at any moment they could break off a big play. And Anthony Miller has that, you know, and I think this transition from college receiver to NFL receiver, I think, is a bigger one than a lot of people realize. And I think Anthony's done a really good job of kind of blending into this offense very quick.
We always like to ask you this, and we're recording this right before practice. I know we all need to get out there, but every year when we do this, I like asking you just to reflect a little bit about your time here as general manager, now going into year four. Do you feel at home here? I know at times maybe you would even admit it's been a little bit more difficult than maybe you thought when you took the job, but it certainly seems like all the groundwork you've done, this roster is completely yours now, and the arrow is pointing up.
It's a really good feeling pulling in right now. I mean, it's starting with Coach Nagy, and then we talk about the youth of our team and the foundation of our team. These foundation pieces, in most ways, are in place, you know, and now it's just letting those things grow. It's drafting and developing, and we feel good about where we're at right now with that. It's a really, really good locker room right now. I mean, we were talking about that, you know, just throughout the preseason. You see these guys hanging out together, being around each other. We got a lot of good people on this team, a lot of good people on this staff, and I think that's ultimately how you win. These games are all going to be close. There's so much parity in our league. When you have a good coaching staff with a bunch of good, high-quality people in your locker room, that's when good things happen.
What are you watching on Saturday? I'm always curious when you have these preseason games. Like you said, it's been a long process, an extra preseason game, extra week. Cut day is coming. It's around the corner. So when you go into this final dress rehearsal, as everybody usually calls it, for the starters, what are you keeping an eye on? What should fans know that the GM is watching?
Yeah, I think for me, especially live, if you try to watch everything, you're not going to watch anything. So you kind of circle in on positions or areas that you really want to lock into. There's certain battles that are going on with our team, and some of them might be on the front end just with depth, and some of them might be on who we're going to keep. So you're kind of isolating into those. And then you have the tape to go back and watch over and over and over again, and literally watch every player, you know, over and over. But during the game, I think I go in with a plan on, I'm going to really focus on these guys to see how they do live. And then there's things you can see too, just in between plays, on the sidelines, things in pregame, things that aren't happening on film that you need to pick up live.
The analogies here with the building and the construction and everything, Matt Nagy can use that pretty much every day as he's talking to the team. But how, you know, it's just the new practice fields you guys debuted last week. The additions around here that are popping up are, look, just being at Denver last week, you saw that facility, mm-hmm. and it's great. And basically, it's really been your vision for the most part, getting the Bears organization caught up in that regard.
Yeah, I think with George and Ted and their support and their backing to do this for our football team, because it ultimately comes down to what helps us win games. And when you walk around the facility now and you see this coming up, it's unbelievable. You talk about a sense of pride when you pull up and you feel the direction of our roster and the direction of our staff, and then you see the facilities, which are going to be near the tops in the league. I mean, we're going to have the two new practice fields are already out there, so we have four outdoor grass fields. The indoor facility is amazing. We have the indoor sand pit down there that's going to be highly utilized, the conditioning hill, and then a whole new wing coming up with the building here, which is going to be state-of-the-art. So I think it makes you proud to be here. I know our players are excited about it. It helps in so many ways, and it's just exciting to see us kind of going to the front of the league right now, being the team that's pushing the envelope and nearing the tops in the league.
It's definitely busy. How many car wash coupons are you
coming
are you,
in out
are you
here?
Handing out here? I know when I leave here, I got to go to the car wash because it's just covered in dirt. But that's again the work that's being done here. Is there anything in particular that you're specifically excited about getting in this new facility?
Oh, there's a lot. Everything related to football is going to be brand new. So, like, whether it's the locker room or the player lounge or the training room, Hydro Works area, that's all going to be new. The weight room, there's going to be a kind of a separate, almost like a mini indoor where our players, where our meeting rooms will be surrounding that indoor. So when you talk, the way the players learn now, to think that we're going to lock guys in a meeting for 3 hours and just have them retain all that sometimes isn't necessarily realistic. So the ability to break out of the meeting rooms and immediately go to a walkthrough space that's right there, I think is real advantageous to their learning style. And there's going to be a lot of technology surrounding that with VR and things of that nature, which I think can help us in different phases of the off-season program.
What about the media? What do we get? Do we get a never-ending buffet station?
We're going to have I know we're putting a a full-service coffee shop in here with a barista, so I'm sure you guys will take full advantage of that.
I like that. I like that. Does Larry at least get a new office?
Well, Larry, if Larry keeps on throwing like he's throwing, we need to put him in the training room a little more.
Yeah, you got
to
work on him.
I like to see him do some hydro works. Oh, maybe I don't want to see him do some hydro works, but that'd be kind of that'd be a sight to see.
It's funny every year we do this, Larry somehow gets mentioned somehow. I don't, whatever.
Well, we literally walked out of the media room while you were sharing some story about Platteville. I'm like, enough, Larry. we'll see you.
That actually did happen. All right. Well, we're talking about the new practice fields. We should get out there and go see practice. Ryan, thanks so much for sitting down with us. I know it's been a little bit of a different preseason this year for many different reasons, but it's always good to sit down and talk football before we get going with the regular season.
Thanks, guys. I love talking football with you. I appreciate it.
So there it was, our third annual sit down with the general manager during training camp. I don't know if it still counts as training camp now, but it's the preseason.
Depending how they, it's all semantics at this point.
Exactly. Anyway, a lot of fun to talk to him. We're going to let that be the episode this week.
That's it.
I mean, we touched on everything. We previewed the game with him a little bit too.
Thanks for the hard work, Ryan.
On Saturday, good checks in the mail, just like Johnsy's.
Yeah. Speaking of that.
Anyway, we hope you enjoyed, and we will talk to you. We're going to have a post-game episode on Saturday from Soldier Field. Voicemail line, we'll be doing those for you, so make sure you're calling in Saturday as you're watching the Bears and Chiefs. Matt Nagy going up against his former team. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us, WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com is where you read Johnsy. Please, tell your friends, hey, this podcast had Ryan Pace on. Go rate and review it. Five. I mean, there's got to be 5 stars when the GM's on, right?
At least 3.
Tell your friends. All right. We will talk to you Saturday after the game.
See ya.